Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Amanda Dibert. You're listening to Pantheon Podcast Network.
History in five songs. With host Martin Popoff. A production of Pantheon Podcasts. Let's rock out with Martin.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back to another episode of History in Five Songs with Martin Popoff, brought to you by the good people at Pantheon Podcast. We are pleased, as always, to be part of this vast and always expanding podcast network family. It's all music shows. We are available on Spotify, iTunes, Amazon Music, anywhere you get your podcast, just Google away. All right, so this is episode 194. I'm calling this Making Bass Interesting. It's kind of funny. You know, I've done episodes recently on good drum sounds and bad drum sounds. Bob Mayo, excellent, smart music guy, said, now you got to do bad guitar sounds. And I thought, oh man, I don't know about that. It's so abstract. It's one sound. It's like a single snare drum or a single tom or something like that. It's a little technical. You got to know your direct into the board, the different sounds of a Gretsch versus the various Fenders and Gibsons, straight through a Marshall, through a pig nose, all that sort of stuff. Tom Scholz. I suppose I know enough if I thought about it, but it's kind of an abstract thing, right? And then I thought, good guitar sounds, is that going to put me into doing good guitar sounds and bad guitar sounds? And then I thought of bass, and I thought bass, good sounds, bad sounds. And then I thought, to make a good, rich, full show, I'm just going to go with the idea of bass and actually break these things down by category, the different ways to make bass interesting. So I do have categories here, the way we're going to do this. Bass is a funny thing. I've often made the analogy that that guitar and bass and drums, comparing how hard they are to learn sort of thing. Bass is sort of like racquetball, and guitar is more like golf or hockey. Racquetball, bass, everybody can pick it up and you're essentially playing the game. And then from there, it's just sort of like a straight line getting better and better and better. Obviously, in sport, you have your competition. In music, you kind of do too. To be considered a good bass player, you're essentially compared to other bass players. So saying bass is easy is kind of funny. It's kind of like saying racquetball is easy. Well, yeah, it's easy to pick it up and essentially be playing the same game as a pro very quickly. But there is competition. So to be considered a good racquetball player, you're playing against another good racquetball player. And then it's a race to see who gets to the same amount of points, or, to the winning number of points, which now I forget in racquetball what it is. Is it 21? Anyways, racquetball and squash are that way. But, you think of golf, for example. Like, you can't actually play golf until you can consistently, pick up the driver and hit it off the tee, right? And then use an iron, right? Any idiot can putt. That's why we have mini putt, mini golf. That's why, you have this sport that you can take your 3-year-old to, right? Putting is the same for everybody. It's just who's a better aimer at that point. But the first two things, you're not even really playing the game unless you can do that consistently. And hockey's kind of the same thing. With hockey, skating is like chords, right? There's an entry level thing you need to be able to do before you can even play hockey, and that's you have to be an amazing, subconscious, second nature skater, right? So guitar is kind of the same thing. There is this knowledge base and this fairly difficult thing to do, which is playing chords, which is different than bass. We're gonna get to bass chords at the end, I think, but. but it's a rare thing. Guitar, you have to be able to move around pretty quickly using chords and stuff. So that's why I think bass is like racquetball. It's like you pick it up, you're essentially doing the same job as anybody else. You're just doing it slower and more clumsy. And then, of course, the other cool thing about bass is that, you know, what happens as you get to be a better bass player. I've always had a bass. I haven't played in a long time, but I used to play fairly seriously in the 80s. And I had, you know, action that's like an inch off the fretboard. It was really a terrible bass, right? But I keep thinking back to playing in various university apartments and how I must have drove the neighbors crazy, right? You don't think about that stuff, right? So the interesting thing about bass is that you have certain things that become second nature as you move along, and you come up with interesting bass lines. And, you know, there's some theory involved, but it's kind of theory that you could sort of learn by rote. You don't need the actual figuring out guitar chords from a book sort of thing. You know, all the octave jumping and all that sort of stuff kind of comes naturally. So you just get to be a better, more fluid bass player and come up with more interesting things as time goes on. So anyways, that's enough of that sermon. And drums, of course. I've always felt that to be a good drummer, you're constantly having these mini breakthroughs along the way, which again is different. It's not like the big barriers to entry, like using the driver and the iron and being able to skate and chords. So they aren't the big barriers to entry, but with drums, seems to be sort of in the middle where you have these little breakthroughs that you have to get through all the time. Figuring out your rudiments and your rolls and your paradiddles and that sort of stuff, getting that double bass fluid and seeing how everything, intersects with everything else. Learning that sixth sense of how many notes you can cram into a fill and to get the rhythm right and all that sort of stuff. Getting your four-limb independence, right? Your polyrhythmic stuff down, but your four limb independence between both arms and then that clap in the hi-hat with your left as you're doing everything else and just totally forgetting about it but having it happen, all that kind of stuff as well. So enough of that. So let's move on to our first selection here. So again, what I did here is I'm trying to give you a rich full show without having to say I'm going to do a bad bass sounds and good bass sounds sort of thing. So this is in category, our first category here. Take a listen to this. This is The Jam with Pretty Green. Okay, so our first category here is sound. So I think that you can make bass interesting by having amazing bass sounds. I think that Bruce Foxton from The Jam got this great gnarly sound. Now, this is Jam. This is The Jam. They're not exactly a post-punk band, but they're not a punk band either. So this is the blending of getting towards that post-punk thing. Post-punk is really known for great bass sounds. And yes, this is a way to make bass interesting is have an intrusive sound, because there are so many bands out there where you don't even think about the bass sound.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things Kiss. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon. Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus meal plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Because it's so melded in, it can be a wallowing noise. I know I've said this story before, but I remember interviewing Robert Trujillo for, I think it was Death Magnetic. And once we were all done with the whole thing, he had some reservations. We were finished the interview and I said, oh yeah, the bass is like, oh, it's there, but it's not very articulated. And he was very concerned about that. He said, yeah, I'm not crazy about the bass sound because you don't hear what I'm playing, right? So when you don't have very articulated bass, you kind of forget the bass is there. It's just part of the frequency thing. But when you have this good gnarly, some people call it throaty or growly sort of sound, the bass does become interesting. It becomes closer to doing what a guitar through a distortion pedal does. So he's like that. J.J. Burnell from the Stranglers is famous for this. All of post-punk is famous for this. You know, I read a thing that said 2 seconds into Peaches by the Stranglers, you'll know what song you're listening to. 5 seconds later, you'll be cursing Jean-Jack Burnell for his talent and wondering how you can get that tone yourself. You can use guitar amplifier, of course, like he did when he was young. You know, I read some other things that said, how do you get that great post-punk bass sound? This was on a forum board, you know, people said, and this stuff I kind of knew anyways, but it's good to see it articulated. Play with a pick, play with lots of mids in the amps, apply a little overdrive. So there's your stuff. Have a good Fender bass. So here again, you get into the characteristics of the instruments. A lot of new wave bass has chorus effect that I probably didn't really know. EQ in a lot of mids, mid-high frequencies. Put a nice FET compressor on there. I don't know what that is. But yeah, and you know, you think of Joy Division, Isolation on the Closer album, on the second album. So Peter Hook is big into this thing as well, where he's really known for his bass sound. But yeah, as soon as you get into the real post-punk stuff, like PIL and Teardrop Explodes and Echo and the Bunnymen and The Cure. So here's another thing where you've got the bass 6, you know, bass VI, which is something that Robert Smith really liked. And that's sort of like a cross between, I read a thing right at the Fender site that said, you know, it's a little bit semantics whether a bass 6 is a baritone guitar. But the point is, it's this instrument that's sort of in between a bass and a guitar. So again, there, sound. But for him there, the idea of the sound is you're getting, higher individual string sounds where it's sounding like, you know, you might call it a piccolo bass or something like that, right? But yeah, you hear it on this jam thing. And the other interesting thing you hear in this jam situation is when you've got this good gnarly sound like that, it makes the guitarist step back. You have to have an agreement with the guitarist, right? What are you going to do? But we're going to actually talk about that a little more in our further categories. So yeah, a few other people I just wanted to mention on this sound thing. Obviously, Lemmy is a big deal. Geddy Lee is a big deal. John Entwistle. I'm not going to say much about these guys because we're going to talk about them later. Chris Squire. You know, I listened to a little bit of different Chris Squire things, and he's a little up and down. He can be gnarly or less gnarly, but you think about what he does in Roundabout. I think Steve Harris does not have a good sound. When you get that clacky thing that he has going on, I don't think he particularly, he has a hard mid-rangey sort of bass sound, but I don't think it's very, it's not a powerful throaty bass sound like you just even heard on this jam song. Roger Waters, everybody thinks about One of These Days. You know, people talk about Flea. John Wetton's an interesting one. I looked at Red. I looked at In the Dead of Night UK, and he can be gnarly or not gnarly. But yeah, he's a little aggressive and insistent in there. Sons of Freedom, man, I love that. Go listen to that first Sons of Freedom album, this Vancouver band that were sort of like a post-punk grunge sort of heavy band. But Don Binns in there, you know, he's even got Binns in his name, right? It's an amazing bass sound. So yeah, there's your sound category. Let's move on to our second selection here. Take a listen to this. This is Aerosmith with Sweet Emotion. Okay, so our category here is bass intros. You know, how to make bass interesting is have a very interesting bass thing that hits you right off the bat in a song. So bass intros is a cool thing. Another one people really think about a lot is Dave Ellefson on Megadeth Peace Sells. That has a very distinctive bass intro. You know, bass intros can be combined with other instruments where you actually really hear the bass itself. But we've got Queen with Another One Bites the Dust. You think of Beatles Come Together. That's an iconic one. Michael Jackson, Billie Jean, Black Sabbath, NIB. He actually hits you with an actual bass solo before the song starts, which is quite bizarre. You've got Kiss with Sure Know Something. Lou Reed, Walk on the Wild Side. People always talk about that bass on there. I think it's like double tracked. Might be fretless too. I'm not sure. Pink Floyd, Money. You know, the most up-tempo track on Dark Side of the Moon. But that's got a very distinctive bass intro there. Pearl Jam, Jeremy. Motorhead, Ace of Spades. You know, I've seen that mentioned as a bass intro, and it kind of is. It is a bass intro. But, you know, certain writers have said, people have even thought that that was actually a guitar because Lemmy has so much mids in there. And Eddie, I remember talking to him a lot about how difficult it was getting his guitar to fit in with Lemmy because of his sound. So Lemmy obviously fits in the sound category, but here he is in bass intro. Primus, man, we could do a whole show on Primus. Les Claypool. Jerry Was a Race Car Driver, bass intro. Queen, Under Pressure, super important bass intro or bass line. And lots of Iron Maiden starts with bass intros. You think of Phantom of the Opera, which is unison bass and guitar doing that tricky sort of intro thing. So there you go. This episode of History in 5 Songs with Martin Popoff is sponsored by BetterHelp. Without a healthy mind, being truly happy and at peace is hard. The good news is therapy works. But what is therapy exactly? It's whatever you want it to be. Maybe you're not feeling motivated right now and would like some tools to help, or maybe you're feeling insecure in relationships or at work, not dealing well with stress. Whatever you need, it's time to stop being ashamed of normal human struggles and start feeling better because you deserve to be happy. And now you don't have to worry about finding an in-person therapist near you to help. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. Join the millions of people who are seeing what online therapy is really about. It's always a good time to invest in yourself because you are your greatest asset. And special offer to History in 5 Songs with Martin Popoff listeners, you can get 10% off of your first month of professional therapy at betterhelp.com/5songs. That's better, HELP.com/5songs. Thanks again to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. All right, let's move on to our third selection here, and we shall discuss. This is Kiss with Room Service. Okay, so we're back to the Dress to Kill album here. And what is this category? It's a vague category that I'm going to call interesting bass parts. You know, Kiss is really underrated in this department. Now, you know, this is mostly Gene Simmons, but, you know, there is the odd thing. You can fall into the trap if you don't research this properly. But, you know, the odd time Paul Stanley plays bass as well. But, you know, you think of Rock and Roll All Night. You think of Detroit Rock City. You can go through many, many, many Kiss songs and realize that they're interesting songs because of this old school attitude of writing an interesting, proper, complicated bass line that is so contrapuntal or contramelodic to what the guitar is doing. So the two act in concert, and one and one equals three, right? Synergy. But you can hear it even in this, modest little Kiss song from a modest little Kiss album called Dress to Kill, Room Service. So you got to hand it to Gene for doing this across these Kiss albums and coming up with these interesting bass lines. And like I say, it's almost like a traditional old school thing where bass was treated as a proper instrument. It's not just, as Roger Glover calls it, teenage eighth notes. You know, later on, I think maybe thrash is a little bit like this. Maybe hair metal is a little bit like this, but it seems like the bass takes a little bit of a backseat, or the bass is doing exactly what the guitar is doing, and probably, frankly, the guitarist wrote the riff, and now the bass player just has to follow the guitar. So that happens. But, you know, other ones you think of in this category of interesting bass parts, they're all over the place. But, you know, I instantly thought of, Paul Simonon, The Clash, Guns of Brixton. That is one of his. That also, so you know, intros as bass. But, you know, the whole song rests on the bass line. You think of a band like Police, The Police, where, Sting has to be quite interesting on the bass all the time because it is a trio, and Andy is being obtuse and jagged and angular with his guitar. So a lot of the times the bass lines are very interesting there. Rush is definitely a big one here as well. You think of Distant Early Warning. So there's a lot of Rush songs where Geddy is essentially playing the riff that you remember. This is a perfect example because you just listen to what Alex is doing, and he's just kind of like chiming away, off in sort of a slide rule mathematical world, while Geddy is really the guy making the music, right? So that happens a lot in Rush. And Rush is an interesting one where, again, we had him in the sound category because he does have an interesting sound. It's not always gnarly, and it goes up and down, and then he has his 80s thing that he does as well. Interesting bass lines there. You know, Immigrant Song's a funny one. We had our band in the 80s, Torque. You know, we played Immigrant Song, and Sammy, that was always the hardest thing for him to do because, the verse is not the big deal, but when it goes into that chorus/break thing, John Paul Jones just turns in this ripping, very fast kind of, scaling sort of bass line. And it was always interesting watching Sammy sweat through that thing, right? But Doors, Riders on the Storm is a good one. The Cure, Love Cats. There's, again, a lot of Cure songs really live and die on a bass line, right? Or a bass tone. Because they write these very spare arrangements quite often, especially in the early days. You know, Rush, Digital Man is a good example. Yes, Roundabout, we talked about Chris Squire. But that's when, you know, you think of how that song kicks in. Well, actually, how the verses are going as well. Chris is the guy doing all the heavy lifting, and, you know, the guitar's just going jing, 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 right? So there's again, this agreement between the guitarist and the bass player. It's like, well, if one of us is going to be busy, the other one can't be busy. So you're usually not busy at the same time. So it's this conversation that goes on between the two. Sometimes the guitar riff is obviously the super complicated thing, right? So yeah, there's your basic category of interesting bass parts. Let's move on to number four here. Take a listen to this. This is The Who with The Punk and The Godfather. All right, so that's from Quadrophenia. You know, I've got a Quadrophenia book coming out, big coffee table book, just like my Pink Floyd Dark Side of the Moon book, same publisher. But John Entwistle, so the category here is lead bass. It's essentially, so how do you make bass interesting? You make it the lead instrument, right? So John Entwistle is always the extreme example of this where, you know, this is a band that has lead drums, it has lead bass, and it kind of has quite often a lead guitarist, but quite often Pete Townsend plays the role of rhythm guitarist in an odd sense, where he's kind of like a chiming in, almost like a percussive rhythm rather than a robotic drum set rhythm. And he's also lead guitarist. He's also throwing in licks. So licks is an interesting word to use when it comes to bass. I don't have a licks category here, but you can imagine how it fits in with all this. But John Entwistle, again, you listen to even just this passage, you just hear how complex and strange and interesting he's being on bass. So he's known as a lead bass player. Another famous one is Billy Sheehan, whether it's in Talis or Mr. Big or on his solo albums, right? So he's, you know, to the point of distraction and to the point of it being kind of like a bass guitar or bass lovers band, that he is this busy, complicated, interesting bass player in there. You think of some of the fretless guys, Jeff Berlin. I could have done a fretless category, but fretless is a way to make bass feel like it's a lead instrument. And it's also a tone thing and a gizmo thing, I suppose, as well. You know, Magazine, I just did a show with Daniel Bosch, and we went through the Magazine catalog, and I remember doing a bunch of research for that, and I couldn't find how much any overt reference to him using fretless bass, but it sounds very fretless. And this, we had the same thing go on in the King Crimson panel book that I've been working on with guys where, you know, pretty knowledgeable guys said, it's kind of hard to tell when Tony Levin's actually using fretless or not, because he's so good at even having a fretted instrument sound like a fretless instrument, right? So that's kind of cool. You know, a subcategory here in the idea of lead bass is literally John Entwistle having one of the most famous, one of the earliest bass solos in a song in my generation. That's a very celebrated bass solo. So you talk about a lead bassist here, he's actually doing a bass solo. And, you know, I know Lemmy's got a few bass solos along the way. It's usually the drum beats going along at the same time, right? It's just him, you know, taking a little bit of a blow, as they say, right? So yeah, Lemmy's kind of funny in that way as well. But I wouldn't call Lemmy a lead bassist. I wouldn't even call Geddy Lee a lead bassist. You know, they're integrated with the song, with the music. Lemmy usually is not playing super complicated because he's got his hands full singing as well, right? So that's super important. So there you go, lead bassist category. You know, Chris Squire, you know, you think of when you get to the Fish Out of Water album, the best solo album from anybody in Yes ever. You know, on that, it is his bass solo album. So there is some neat, you know, you think of Hold Out My Hand, you know, the first song, you know, bass is kind of a lead instrument in that. So that's kind of cool. All right, let's move on to our last category. Take a listen to this. This is The Damned with Billy Bad Breaks. Why love don't come? I may have even used this song in a previous show. I'm not sure, but my category here is just overall enjoyable bass players, right? Overall tone and good glancing lines and holding down the root as well, but not all the time, but knowing how to hold down the root with some complication. This is Paul Gray. So how to make bass interesting, be Paul Gray. That's one way to make bass interesting. And the reason I wanted to bring up this song in particular is, you can go on YouTube and watch a video of him just sitting on his couch at home, playing this bass line with the music, you know, muted back a little, so you could really see what he's doing. And you could just see the joy and the coolness of bass guitar and the cool things you can do with it. You know, he's considered a busy bass player, but he's not a John Entwistle. You know, he's quipped before. I think he told me once, or I've seen quotes or whatever, boy, if I was paid by the note, you know, I'd be a rich man and all this kind of stuff, right? But he's very musical. He knows what he's doing, but he's just in there, you know, making the bass an interesting instrument in the mix, right? So go watch that video of him playing Billy Bad Breaks. You know, he's on, I think, the most interesting Damned albums, and I think as a bass player and as a writer, he makes those albums the most interesting Damned albums. So yeah, that's overall tone. A good adherence to holding down the root, but doing it with some sophistication. So you even hear that in this 30-second clip that we just played. I think Bruce Foxton as well in the Jam is the same sort of thing. You hear him just being a good rounded overall bass player and making the songs interesting. All right, so that's our five things. I just wanted to mention a few honorable mentions in this category. You think of things like, so the episode's called, what did I call it? Making bass interesting. Yeah, I always try to keep these things kind of short, but so other ways to make bass interesting, slap bass. So that's kind of a cool thing. You know, you think of Tony Levin with his funk fingers. You think of the Chapman stick. You can make bass interesting by having interesting looking basses that are played slightly different way. You think of the war guitar, right? That whole idea, tapping on bass is kind of interesting. We've mentioned the bass six earlier, right? That Robert Smith uses a lot, and it's part of the Cure. And you can listen to a lot of Cure songs, you know, put those headphones on, and sometimes it's hard to discern what is actually being played on guitar versus on bass because it is kind of a blended instrument between the two. So yeah, and you know, you think of. I promised I would mention chords. You know, sometimes you hear bass chords, and I don't think they ever sound very interesting. I think Lemmy does it occasionally, but certainly, you know, when I think of Rush, I think of the Vapor Trails album for some reason more than others. And I think in most cases, bass chords don't sound all that interesting. An interesting thing Dusty Hill told me once, which was kind of cool. You know, he said that when you're in a trio, you have to be, you have to play the bass and the guitar on the bass sometimes. And what he meant by that is that if Billy is off soloing, he said, you know, that is a time, I might be paraphrasing or putting words in his mouth, but that is a time that you might play bass chords. But I think what he meant more so is that I have to make this bass line more interesting than a normal bass line because I have to cover off the rhythm guitar to fill in the sound a little more because Billy's off soloing at this moment, right? And we're just a trio. We just have one guitar. So there's always that problem, right? And always that interesting thing about what do you do on the bass when you only have one guitarist in the band. And Van Halen is famous for this, for having, you know, so many times Eddie go off on solo right on the record, right? He'll solo on the record and he'll say, no, we're not putting in a rhythm guitar track behind this. And, you know, it's up to Mikey to help make this interesting, right? So that's kind of a cool thing, too. And the last thing I wanted to mention is, you know, when you go and research the idea of interesting bass parts, greatest bass parts of all time, greatest bass solos, greatest bass intros, there's a lot of, you know, a whole type of music that we haven't talked about here, which is the whole R&B world, right? R&B and forget jazz. You mean even go into jazz. But, you know, I wanted to mention things that you'll see on these lists are Chic, James Brown, Marvin Gaye, Benny King, Sly and the Family Stone, Stevie Wonder. So a lot of the great bass playing in the world takes place in all of that music as well. So there you go. If you like this show and want to support future episodes, please go to Ko-fi, rhymeswithnofee.com/MartinPopoff. Hit that red support button. Buy me a coffee or a pint. This week, I would like to thank Andy at Black Sugar Transmission, Joe Becht, David Fisher, Jamie Laszlo, James Mikalev, Monty Olson, Augustin Garcia de Paredes, Steve Polari, Dan Rosenson, Brian Sager, Eddie Salinger, and John Stuckey. Thank you all. Again, you can go to martinpopoff.com for all your book needs. We've also got our video show, The Contrarians. The latest book that just came out is AC/DC at 50. It's a big, beautiful, plush coffee table book, full color throughout. The Pink Floyd, as I'm speaking here, it's currently out of stock, but I'll have those back in May. Pink Floyd Dark Side of the Moon book. Still have my two Alice Cooper books. Still have my Damned book. Again, we played the Damned in this show. I love Paul Gray to death. He's so cool. Go watch that video. That's your homework for today. Go watch the Billy Bad Breaks video. He actually does this for a couple other songs as well, so it's kind of cool. So that might lead you to some others. But I definitely find a lot of joy in what he's doing and good overall, you know, good bass guitar instincts in what he's doing there. So there you go. That's it for now. Maybe we'll tackle guitar in some ways. I'm not sure how to do it exactly, but I thought this made for a good action-packed bass episode. Talk to you later.
Find all of our shows, notes, social, and links at www.pantheonpodcast.com or wherever you listen to great podcasts. All songs can be found for purchase on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. Please purchase these great and important tracks. Find us on Facebook at the RNRAP. We are on Instagram at R&R Archaeology. Tweet us at R&R Archaeology.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.